Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Brittany Dean.
Hi, it is great to be here again. And today we are going to have a topic that, you know, I think a lot of us in Trinidad face, whether it's by ourselves or through a loved one, through a friend, etc. And we are going to be talking about substance abuse and substance addiction. Mm-hmm. And I would like the callers to ask their questions, whether or not it's about substance abuse and substance addiction. You know, call in, ask us your questions. And even if you have any stories to let other people know about, you know, how you've gotten through something, how you've helped somebody get through something. And, you know, let's just have a conversation. And we do have a special guest at the end of this, Dalton Brown Optometry, where we will be talking about eye health. But let's just start off today talking about what substance abuse is and how it differs from substance addiction. And I think it is important for people to have this distinction in their mind, because, you know, a lot of people tend to think it is dependent on willpower in terms of addiction. Mm-hmm. But we have studies now that show that people who are addicted to substances, their brain actually functions a lot differently from ours. So let me just explain what substance abuse is, and let me differentiate it from substance addiction so people can have a clear distinction between the two. Substance abuse is the harmful or hazardous use of psychoactive substances, and these things would include alcohol, illicit drugs, and it leads to deterioration in your mental health, your physical health, and can even lead to social problems. Now, when we're talking about substance abuse, like I said before, it encompasses many different substances. And examples of this would be binge drinking as opposed to alcoholism. So binge drinking would be drinking copious amounts of alcohol in a small period of time, mm-hmm. versus somebody who is addicted to alcohol, who will be drinking over a long period of time consistently. So substance addiction or substance use disorder is a chronic brain disorder. So this is an actual disorder that we deal with in terms of psychiatry, and it's characterized by compulsive drug seeking and drug use despite any harmful consequences. So if you or you know somebody, despite, you know, knowing that they are going into a dangerous environment, they still need to get that substance, that means that they may be addicted, whether it be to alcohol, whether it be to illicit drugs such as, you know, cocaine, methamphetamines, all these different things. And there are many commonly abused substances. There are some that are not so common in Trinidad and Tobago, and the commonly abused ones, which we can probably see in many different areas, would be things like alcohol, mm-hmm. tobacco, opioids, even stimulants, like I mentioned before, cocaine, methamphetamines, and even cannabis. And I know some people will disagree with that last one, but it does fall under illicit drug use. And one thing I want to point out as well is that these substances can cause a lot of medical conditions, which we will get into, but hiding them from your practitioner, your medical practitioner, mm-hmm. can be detrimental to you. So we're not asking you this to pry into your business. So at the end of every history, we will ask you if you are drinking any alcohol, if you're taking any illicit drugs. And this is not because we want to call the police on you. It's because we know that these have had researched medical conditions attached to them, and we need to know if that is the cause of your medical condition.
Right, well, some people would say, you know, in Trini, I mean, taking a little drink, I take a drink. Some people,
yeah.
I take a drink in the morning, they take a drink lunchtime, take
right?
a drink in the afternoon, and they function very well, but mm-hmm. they may say they may not have a problem, but is that necessarily a problem?
That is a problem, because there are stipulated amounts of alcohol that you should be drinking per day, and it differs for men and women. So for women, it's usually about one drink per day or every 2 to 3 days. For men, it's only two. But you know, in Trinidad, we have this party culture. We have this culture where we have normalized drinking, or we've normalized alcohol. Mm. And I am not going to be the person to say or take away, you know, some people like to say, well, the doctor wants to take away my fun because the doctor is telling me not to drink. But it is our job. It's our job to tell you, you should not drink alcohol. Or if you really want to drink alcohol, you need to limit the amount that you drink.
Yeah, but they tell you about wine. It's okay to drink wine.
Well, it depends on the type of wine you're drinking, because red wine does have certain ingredients in it that has been proven to help with heart health and health in general.
Yeah.
But drinking copious amounts of wine, again, will have a detrimental effect on your health. But like I said before, in Trinidad, we have normalized drinking. We've normalized the use of certain drugs. We've normalized the use of tobacco. And it is very difficult if we are surrounded by an environment where this is normalized for especially for people who suffer with addiction, to break out of that habit. And when, like I said before, when we're talking about addiction, it is primarily a brain disorder. And I just want to stress on why it's a brain disorder a little bit. And it's because in our brains, we have certain parts that light up when we take certain substances, when we experience pleasure. And it may not be because of addiction. You know, you may eat some ice cream and that is pleasurable to you. So that part of the brain will light up. And there are three main categories, or three main parts of the brain, which is, you know, just fancy words, amygdala, your basal ganglia, and your prefrontal cortex. And let me just stress on this. Your prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of your brain, you know, part of that addiction center, that does not develop until your 20s, your early to mid-20s. And that is why we have age restrictions on alcohol use and tobacco use, because you cannot differentiate before that age whether or not this is good for you, or it basically does not stop you from taking these substances. And a lot of people don't know that, and that is why you have people who are addicted. The likely category for people to be addicted is if they have taken drugs or alcohol before the age of 20, or before that age where the prefrontal cortex is actually developed. So because you have, you know, exposed your brain to these substances already, that means that later on in life, you will need more to get that pleasure center going. And that is where the addiction comes in, because you keep wanting more and more. But your brain has already become accustomed to these drugs and this alcohol that, you know, it's not processing it as it should. And you think by drinking more, you're going to get that response, but you're not. And it is, like I said, a brain condition once you become addicted, because there are stipulated rules and regulations that we as doctors, we ask you, we follow a whole criteria just to diagnose you with addiction. And it is difficult, because a lot of people think addiction can be overcome with willpower, but it is a brain disorder. And there are many things.
But what about people who have stopped drinking, like cold turkey?
Well, there are people who can do that. That is where the willpower comes in. When you want to stop, that is when the willpower comes in. But then there are people who are, I would not say so far gone, but there are people who experience it in such a grand way that it is very difficult for them to find that willpower to want to stop. And even the people who have the willpower to want to stop, when they do start certain programs, etc., and I'm not saying that this is for everybody, but they tend to relapse. And relapses occur about approximately 5 to 7 times before the person actually starts quitting the substance, or starts quitting alcohol, drugs, anything like that.
All right, let me just give out the numbers here. 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, you can feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. I have a question here. Doctor, I knew somebody who was drinking or alcohol all their life, and as soon as they stopped, they died.
Well, you see, and this is, I want to make a big point about this. A lot of people tend to think because you started a good thing and you died, something is wrong. But the main thing is that big part before that he said they were drinking alcohol all their life.
Yeah.
So that means there's some trigger that happened that made him stop drinking alcohol at that point. And we don't know if he was diagnosed with cirrhosis or alcoholic liver disease that caused complications that caused him to die. So he maybe stopped and then two or three days later, he died because it was already complicated.
Let's take a call. Hello, good morning. Good afternoon. Hello? Oh, sorry there. All right, 627. Hello? Callers on the line, not hearing anybody. 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, we are taking on any of your medical questions. Is coffee a good substitute for alcohol, and is it a drug?
So coffee is what we call a stimulant. Caffeine that is in coffee is a stimulant. It is somewhat classified as a drug because it is a stimulant. But I would say that, yes, it is a substitute, because if we're looking at alcohol versus coffee, right, we want the lesser of two evils.
Caffeine is also addictive.
Yeah, caffeine is also addictive. So you will find that people who are addicted to coffee, they tend to drink copious amounts of coffee. They will drink like 5 cups of coffee a day and they would still be feeling tired. They will not have, you know, the effects of coffee compared to that person who is drinking coffee for the first time. But when I say caffeine is better than alcohol, I'm not saying that you should be going and drinking coffee every single day. What I am saying that in moderation, it is better.
The damages are much less, probably. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I just wanted to find out something. I just spoke to you about a week or so ago. I stopped smoking. This is 26 of this one. We're making 2 years since I stopped smoking. And I started, as I said, I started walking and doing exercises since December, from December, well, let's say December 28 or 29, thereabout, to now. I went on the scale on Sunday, and from that date in December until Sunday when I went on the scale, I have lost 21 pounds.
Wow.
I feel great. I look good now. I mean, you know, I slim down, so I look good. My question though is, I am still walking every day.
Yes.
Trying to maintain that 10,000 steps. So my question is, if I continue with walking like this every day, am I going to continue losing weight?
So what I will say to that is, weight loss is dependent on the amount of calories that you consume versus the amount of calories that you let out per day. So in terms of walking 10,000 steps per day, that means that you are burning a certain amount of calories. If you are not, exactly. So if you are not supplementing that 500 calories with nutrients in your body, you will continue to lose weight, especially if you are not eating your recommended amount of calories per day. So if you would like to maintain your weight, you are going to need to eat your maintenance amount of calories, and you can calculate this online. There are calculators. Just put in your age and your weight, and they usually tell you how many calories you need per day to maintain your weight. And then when you are burning this amount of calories during walking, you are going to need to supplement that. So it's going to be the amount of calories that you need to maintain your weight plus the amount of calories that you are burning while walking. However, if you would like to lose a little bit of fat, I would say that you do not need to supplement it completely. You can't supplement it halfway, or you can supplement it 3/4 of the way. And in addition to the walking, I would suggest that you do start a little bit of resistance training as well, because you don't want to just be losing weight. you will be losing both fat and muscle, and it's important for us to maintain that lean muscle mass. So it's also important for you to start a little bit of resistance training and then supplement that with your nutrients, because your nutrients are what is 80% important when you're trying to maintain weight or when we're talking about weight.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Another question coming up here on the WhatsApp. Good day. So if the medical personnel has this information about the underdevelopment in the brain till mid-20s, why don't they appeal to the government to raise the drinking and smoking age to around 25 so they can make wiser choices?
I agree with that sentiment, because you do see a lot of young people dabbling in...
A lot of young people are smoking right now.
Exactly, smoking and...
Vaping,
and
you know what they're doing?
Yeah,
vaping.
The vaping.
My gosh, these girls are vaping like if it's out of style. And
I think I even saw an article how, I think it was a few days ago, where a few teenage girls had lung infections because of vaping.
Yeah.
And I think it was in a high school. But it is very dangerous. And I suggest that, you know, there should be rules that are stipulated against smoking and vaping, especially at a certain age. But I mean, like, everybody should not be smoking or drinking vaping. Alcohol or vaping, because it is detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know what stress-related conditions there are that some people go through. But
aren't there other ways to relieve your stress?
Exactly. There are other ways to relieve your stress.
Come, find something to do. Join the gym. Take a walk. Take a run. Oh God, do something.
There are a lot of ways to relieve your stress. But, you know, like I said, as humans, we tend to want to gravitate towards the easiest thing. And nicotine provides that dopamine release for a lot of people. And that's why it becomes both substance abuse and both substance addiction.
And what about food? Some people are addicted to food as well.
Right.
Food is an addiction.
Yes,
too.
Because, like I said, everything that deals with addiction deals with the dopamine release centers in our brain because it makes us feel pleasurable, because it makes us feel good. So like I said before, when we're talking about eating ice cream, that's sugar. And it's not just the foods, because it's very, very rare. Or I don't know if they exist to find somebody who's addicted to vegetables. It is the refined sugars that is addictive. And one thing I want to say is that sugar is the most addictive substance.
Okay.
Because we as children, because we become so attached, or if we are exposed to it at a very young age, we tend to become addicted to it for life. Because if you've ever tried cutting out any type of sugar, and that's why it's very difficult for people to go on diets, etc., because cutting out sugar is very difficult for most, if not all people.
Sugar and flour. All right, let's take a short break. Don't forget, coming up, we have an interview with Dalton Brong and Associates. We'll be talking to them in a short while. All right, lean into a healthier lifestyle with GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, and way more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meal replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also great solutions for living an overall healthier lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNCTT on Instagram for more information. GNC, live well. And also give yourself the care you deserve. Treat yourself with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your health first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care and healing you need. They are a full-service healthcare provider operating in Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality healthcare. Call Health City now at 868-720-4019. That's 720-4019. And reach us via email at tt@healthcity.ky. For full details on their services, visit healthcitycaymanislands.com. That's healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to your very best health. We are coming back. All right, so we're back with your lunchtime doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5. We're talking substance abuse and addiction. If you have any stories about how you overcame your addiction, if you were, feel free to call us or message us at 627-3223-625-2257 and 306-1065. Our question here, what is the difference between vaping and smoking?
Right, so this is a very good question, and smoking and vaping, they're not actually that much different, and a lot of smokers tend to go to vaping, and they tend to become vapers after a while because they tend to think that it is better than smoking. But they're both methods of inhaling substances. There are some differences because there are differences in terms of how you inhale the smoke into your lungs. Smoking involves the combustion of plant material, and this would be tobacco and other substances, and it produces smoke containing many numerous harmful substances or chemicals, and these things would be like tar, carbon monoxide. So if you're smoking a cigarette, you're not just getting nicotine, you're not just getting tobacco, you're getting carbon monoxide, you're getting tar, you're getting carcinogens. So that is a very big portion of smoking. Now, in contrast, vaping involves vaporization of liquids. And these liquids contain nicotine flavorings and other additives in an electronic device. And the vaping devices actually heat the liquid to create that vapor that is inhaled. But when we're talking about smoking versus vaping, vaping is worse than smoking in a non-smoker, but vaping is better than smoking in a smoker. Both are very bad for your health. But let me just say that again. Vaping is worse than smoking for a non-smoker, but it is better than smoking for a smoker.
Oh, okay. Understood. What about these menthol cigarettes? Are they any... I'll tell you, like, is there any such thing as a healthy cigarette?
There is no such thing as a healthy cigarette. I don't think so, because like I said before, if it does not contain the nicotine, it does contain other substances, the tar, the carbon monoxide, and the carcinogens. So there's no such thing as a healthy cigarette. All cigarettes, all vaping materials will lead to some sort of lung complication, or even if it's not lung complication, some sort of physical deterioration in your body.
All right, 627-3223-625-2257. We did have some calls coming in there while you were speaking. I know the thing about vaping, what the vapors, they look so kind of cute, like little cases that parents may not even realize.
It's all marketing, yes.
Exact parents may not realize that their children, especially their daughters, are using vapors. They're like pretty little.
And there's so much research that is done in vaping these days. And there's actually a study that is published in one of the European medical journals about vaping in Trinidad and Tobago and how it's risen by a large percentage of the population, especially in teenagers aged 18 to 25. So it's risen quite a bit since it was introduced a few years ago. So we're seeing a lot of people now, if you go to the malls, if you're going anywhere to just sit down and eat, you see a lot of people just pulling out this vape and smoking it, thinking that, you know, it is fine because they're not smoking. But like I said before, if you've never smoked a cigarette in your life, vaping is detrimental.
All right, definitely. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Doc, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Oh, that's great. But you know, Doc, and I tend to slightly disagree with you.
Okay.
To me, both are dangerous.
Yes.
But vaping to me is far more... I have the research on what nicotine are. I have the research on what tobacco does. But there is no studies fully yet on the full effects. I've seen about 20-something states in the U.S. more or less put a ban on vaping because it tends to be more devastating than smoking cigarettes, from what I observed. I don't know if you observed the same thing I have observed. I'm not saying that you should do any, but I'm just saying that to me, vaping is to me far more worse as a beginner, yes, as a beginner compared to smoking cigarette.
Right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
No problem. So like I said before, it will depend on the person. If the person has been smoking cigarettes for a large amount of years and they quit the cigarettes but they started vaping, they will have less detrimental effects than somebody who started vaping and then wanted to switch to cigarettes, because cigarettes will be worse for that person. But research is ongoing. So like he said before, there's so much research that is done on cigarettes themselves, but because vaping is a new fad, something that has come around within the last decade or two, there's research that is still ongoing, and the research now actually agrees with what I said. Mm-hmm. It actually agrees that vaping is better for smokers, but if you have never smoked in your life, vaping is very bad.
Yeah, and why would people in the tobacco industry want you to get addicted to vaping in the first place? Because it is a threat to the industry.
Exactly, but both contain nicotine.
Yeah.
Both are addictive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, another one here. I have heard that alcohol can make you loosen up, relax, and feel more comfortable. Mm. And that I think could be a good thing. But yet, I have heard that this fun pastime is correlated with increased risk of a number of diseases. So, Doc, I'm asking for a friend. Is there such a thing as a healthy alcohol drink or beer? And if so, what are they?
So, what I would say is that there are drinks that are that do not contain alcohol, but they do help you feel, you know, a little loose, feel a little bit better around people, etc. I can't call them off air. I can't tell you the names, but that has to do with your personality type as well. So if you are very introverted, it helps for you to go out, make friends, be around people, so that, you know, you will tend to get comfortable around people. But this is a very important question and a very important point that I want to make here in terms of addiction. And the listener stated here that alcohol makes you feel better, it makes you feel loose. And I want to make a point of positive and negative reinforcements. And when I say that, I don't mean in a good or bad way. I mean adding something or subtracting something. So for some people, when they drink alcohol or they take a shot of this or they take a shot of that, it makes them feel happy. It makes them feel pleasurable. And that is a positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
But a negative reinforcement is you have a pain and you take an opioid and it takes away your pain. So that is a negative reinforcement. And people who become addicted to substances tend to have more negative reinforcements. The substances tend to take away something instead of add something to their life. So that is the type of person who is more predisposed to becoming addicted to a substance. If you are taking a substance because it takes away your emotional or your physical pain, it takes away some aspect that you don't want, some dark aspect of your life, that is when you can become addicted more likely than somebody, oh, I drank alcohol and it made me feel a little bit happier. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very important point to make, because it shows you that if you are vulnerable, these things can creep up on you and these things can attack you very easily. So it is very important to find healthier coping mechanisms, mm-hmm, when it comes to certain physical or emotional pains in our life.
I think we are at a time of our lives where people are just not normally happy. People just can't be, you know, just happy on a normal head. Like you go to an event, some,
yes,
people it takes a while, or they had to get some drinks in their head before they start to, you know, really enjoy themselves.
Yes, because a lot of people practice escapism. And when I say this, it's because, you know, your daily life, it is very monotonous in some cases.
Mm.
You know, you go to work, you just come
your
home.
Routine.
Yeah, your routine. So when they find that point to escape, when they find that point to let loose, that's when they do it. And that's mostly on a weekend. That's why you see a lot of parties on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, or throughout the weekend. Because that is that point when most of society or most of us get to let loose or practice a little bit of escapism.
Mm-hmm. All right, as we spoke about in terms of another type of substance abuse, those people who are addicted to medication, get addicted to pills,
exactly,
medication because of a pain or something.
Right, yeah. And that's the opioids I was talking about, and right. That is a negative reinforcement because it's taking away their pain. But the more that you take these pills, the more your brain becomes accustomed to it and the more that you think you require. But in fact, your brain actually down-regulates these dopamine receptors. So you think that by putting more of this within your body, mm-hmm. you are going to get a grander response, and that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. Your dopamine receptors have already been down-regulated. You don't have the... Any amount that you put in your body is not going to give you that response.
All right. What role does our genetics play in our substance abuse? Let's say a mother or father, mm-hmm. Substance abuse, especially mother, maybe through pregnancy, would that fall on the children? Is
right.
it genetics?
So genetics do play a very substantial role, especially in susceptibility to substance abuse and addiction. There are certain genetic variations that influence individual responses to substances, metabolism, and your risk of developing addiction. But genetic predisposition alone cannot determine your substance abuse outcomes. For example, you will see kids that were born to mothers who are alcohol users or born to mothers who take drugs, etc. But they tend to shy away from that. They never drink alcohol in their life. They never take drugs in their life. And like I said before, it's not because gender susceptibility is not the only risk factor that you can use to determine whether or not this person will become addicted to drugs. There are environmental factors as well that come into play. So there are some people who will become susceptible to the environmental factors because their parents are taking drugs or drinking alcohol. They tend to sway towards that side, but then there are those who want to stay away from it. So again, it's about the environment that you put yourself in and also the environment that you are able to take yourself out of.
A link up with our friends here, Dalton Brong and Associates, but I'm not seeing them joining the Zoom yet, so we just keep going on. Somebody sent a picture of Relva. This is what I vape. Are you familiar with that? The Relva?
It's what no, and I think that, you know.
Somebody sent a picture of it. Relva. R-E-L-V-A-R.
If you have not started vaping or smoking.
No, I think about something. I think it's like a medical thing he's making. Like
okay. Joke, you know? And I want to make a point of this too. There are certain medical conditions that require you or give you certain drugs for pain relief. Mm-hmm. And once you stay or maintain that stipulated dose, you will be fine.
Yeah. What about if you have asthma and you have to use the, what do you call it?
The inhaler.
The inhaler, yes.
Oh, that is a completely different type of drug. Mm. And most people, if not all people, don't really get addicted to that. Mm. Because that is really just for if you're having an asthmatic attack or if you are experiencing any difficulty in breathing. And asthmatics know that it is not something that you want to put into your system because there are side effects for some of these drugs anyways.
Mm. All right, okay. And of course, as well as the decriminalization of marijuana is upon us, do you think a lot of people are abusing it? Sometimes I walk through, there's a park that I walk through on my way to work, and sometimes before there's people taking their break, instead of taking their coffee break, they will have their marijuana break. And they're going back to work, you know, and people, you know, some people, I don't know if you want to call them potheads, but they have to take a smoke in the morning,
yeah.
Have to take a smoke midday, have to take a smoke before they go to bed. Every day, is that a problem?
And what I would say is that every single drug does have some sort of detrimental effects, if not on your body, on your brain. Mm. So for some people, like I said before, they do become addicted to the substances because they are not experiencing that pleasurable effect that they got the first time. Mm-hmm. So they tend to think, if I take more, maybe I will get that pleasurable effect. Or
well,
maybe
that's the mind over matter factor. I get to live for me personally. In school, You know, you experiment with stuff. I smoked a cigarette, mm-hmm. and I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And why would I want to spend all this money on this? I've seen people spending money on it, but it is disgusting. I drank alcohol. You know, I got drunk already, and it was...
Yes.
I just said, well, this is not for me. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So I just have no... So with me, my mind is... That
your
is just
mind,
not for
it's
me.
It's a mind over matter thing for most people. But remember, there are people who have that genetic susceptibility to, you know, addiction and to taking these drugs, etc. And I'm not saying that is everybody that becomes addicted, because addiction and abuse is a very complex disorder. And it's influenced by many different things, a combination of genetics, biological, psychological and environmental factors. So if somebody experiences some sort of trauma or stress or peer pressure, and especially if they have access as well as any type of mental health disorders, this can all contribute to the development of substance abuse and addiction. So it's a very complex topic, and a lot of people, especially those who are heavily addicted, their entire brain functioning and their brain chemicals and the neuronal pathways, everything changes, and it's very difficult to get them back on track. It's not because they don't want to, it's because their brain has a completely different functioning to the average person.
All right. Hi, good day, doctor. I am a heart case, and I haven't taken any heart tablet for the past 3 weeks because of Freeport Health Center, Coover Health Center and San Fernando Hospital don't have any up till now, and I don't have the money to purchase the tablets. Is what they call the name of the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
But are there like substitute that you could use? The name of the tablet is Procoralan.
Oh, okay. So I can't give a substitute on air, but what I can tell you is that you need to go to your clinic ASAP or your private doctor ASAP and tell them that there's not access to this particular medication, so that they can switch you to what they have in the clinic or in the hospital. Because being a heart patient and being off your medication will have detrimental effects, and it is very important and imperative that you go as soon as possible to get your medication changed or get them to put you on something that is a substitute for this.
And if anybody from the Ministry of Health is listening, please, the Freeport Health Center, Coover Health Center, mm-hmm. San Fernando Hospital does not have any. Maybe they could go to another one, a Mount Hope or something, mm-hmm. you know, come out of Central, but try, you know.
Yes. But there are substitutes, and they will be willing to switch it for you, because that can have detrimental effects if you do not take your heart medication.
All right. In terms of more, we're talking about substance abuse, of course. Can you talk about the intersection of abuse and with our health issues, such as infectious diseases, mental health disorder, and chronic medical conditions? Does this substance abuse lead to other things?
Yes, it can lead to so many other health issues. It is intertwined, as you said, and this would include other diseases such as HIV that we discussed yesterday, and hepatitis, especially if you're taking drugs that require you to share a needle, you know, especially if you are taking drugs that are, you know, detrimental in terms of sharing needles, and the drugs themselves will have detrimental effects on the body and the brain, but the way in which you take certain drugs will have detrimental effects on you as well. It can lead to even infectious diseases of the heart, something called infective endocarditis, and there are certain bacteria that we see in IV drug users, and this would be intravenous access to the drugs, like I said before, if you're using needles. You can even develop mental health disorders. And I usually say that mental health disorders and substance abuse can go hand in hand, because a lot of people take drugs because they're suffering from depression or anxiety. But people who take drugs can lead themselves or can put a strain on their mental health and develop these things after a while, because becoming dependent is very detrimental, and it also causes you to have that sort of depressive feeling, especially if you cannot surround yourself, or if you cannot get the drugs or get access to the drugs that you need. And chronic medical conditions as well, it can lead to drug abuse can lead to chronic medical conditions such as diabetes or even cardiovascular risks, especially if the drug abuser is pregnant, and especially if it's a woman, because women are more susceptible to becoming addicted to certain drugs.
All right. All right, let's take a short break, folks. Of course, give yourself the care you deserve. Treat yourself with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your healing first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours. Oh, no, see no friends at the Dalton Optometrist getting in there. Health first with you and yours is Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care and healing they need. They're a full-service healthcare provider operating in the Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality healthcare. Call Health City now at 720-4019 on 720-4019 and reach us via email at tt@healthcity.ky. For full details on their services, visit healthcitycaymanislands.com. healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to your very best of health. And lean into a healthier lifestyle with the GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, the way more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meal replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they're also great solutions for living and overall health lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarkets, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit at GNCTT on Instagram. And for more information, GNC Live Well. So we do have online our friends out here, Dalton Brong, an optometrist. So we say good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You hearing us?
Yes. Good afternoon, we're hearing you.
All right. Watch me run a little late today.
That's okay. So I saw that we are talking about women's eye health and safety today, which is a very, very good topic, because there are so many, you know, there's so many research out there talking about eye health, but nothing specific to women. So I'm glad that we're doing this topic today.
Yeah. So actually, April is the month of women's eye health and safety. Mm. So just going to touch a bit on that today.
Okay, great. So, you know, to start, could you tell us what certain eye conditions women are more risk for?
Okay. So women are actually at a greater risk for certain things like dry eyes. Now we have things like glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy. All of these things, the risk actually increases with age, right? And because women are more at a risk because of their, well, studies actually found that women have a longer lifespan than men. So because of that, they have a greater risk for these conditions.
Okay. And in terms of certain medical conditions that are specific to women, such as PCOS and menopause, how can these conditions affect women's eyes?
Right. So because of the hormonal changes in the eyes, it actually has an effect on the eyes. So with puberty, pregnancy, the menstrual cycles, all of these things actually increase estrogen in our body. Mm-hmm. And because of that, this can actually impact the vision. Now, even taking things like birth control can also cause hormonal fluctuations in the body. And this can cause things like dry eyes. So you might get the symptoms of itchy, red, watery eyes. All of this can are caused by the hormonal changes in the body.
Okay, and we're talking about hormonal changes, and women go through all these hormonal changes throughout our lives, and one of these would include pregnancy. Now, can pregnant women get their eyes tested, and are they susceptible to any certain conditions in the eyes?
So yes, they can get their eyes tested, but that eye exam will only focus on examining the health of the eyes. Mm-hmm. It's actually not recommended for they to update their glasses prescription during that time. Reason being, because they're pregnant and all the hormonal changes, their eyes just go through a lot of changes as well, mm-hmm. right? So one being corneal changes. So the cornea actually changes in terms of the shape or the thickness of it. And when this happens, it usually affects the prescription within their eyes or the glasses prescription, as we call it, as well as their ability to wear contact lenses. So remember, with the contact lenses, it sits over the front surface of the eyes, which is the cornea. But if the cornea is affected during pregnancy in terms of the shape of it, the contact lens won't fit properly on the surface of the eyes. So they may get discomfort and whatnot. So we usually do recommend that pregnant women who do wear contact lenses religiously try to switch or revert back to their glasses during that period in time.
Oh, okay. And I know that after pregnancy, you know, you still have this surge of hormones going through your body, but they tend to regress after a while. How long after pregnancy would somebody be able to update their glasses prescription? Because like you said, there will be changes during pregnancy. So we will not know exactly what the changes in the eye are after pregnancy. So how long after would it be accurate to test?
So if they are not breastfeeding, we usually recommend to wait at least 3 months after birth. If they are breastfeeding, we usually recommend to wait at least 6 months after birth, so that it gives the body enough time to stabilize the hormones and the fluctuations, so we could get a proper prescription at that point in time.
Okay, great. And what should women do to protect our eyes? And I know this can span both men and women, but are there anything in particular that women should do?
Right. So, well, women and men and, well, everyone should get an eye exam. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you should get your eyes tested every 2 years. Now, if you have other conditions, maybe diabetes or anything else, your optometrist might suggest a little bit sooner, like 1 year or maybe even 6 months. So we're not going to, so at Dalton Brown, we don't usually just do glasses only. We like to make sure that the eyes are healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's a key part in making sure that your eyes are doing well.
Okay.
Also, you want to make sure that you're eating a healthy diet. Now, that's not just for your eyes only, but your body as well. So once your body is doing well, your eyes will also be affected as well. Now, you can't, smoking has a negative effect on the eye, so you want to not smoke, right? Also, you should wear sunglasses while we are outside. Also, do protective eyewear. So if you're gardening, you're swimming, you're playing sports, or if you're cleaning or dealing with chemicals, you should protect the eyes, as these things can damage your eyes. And then lastly, for the ladies, you know, we like our makeup, right? And that's okay. But we want to make sure that we're applying the makeup on our outer eyelids and try not to get that makeup into the eyes, right? And then after you have these makeup on the whole day, you need to remove it every night with a paraben-free makeup remover, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing all this information for us ladies, because we don't really talk about eye health specifically to women. And I'm glad that you shared this topic, because I like to talk about women a lot, you know, based on that. Thank you so much. And of course, we will encourage the listeners, if you have any questions, to call in, especially if it's pertaining to your eye health. You know, we have the professionals here, so call in and ask any of your eye questions.
Yeah. So actually, in April, we actually have a special where we do an eye exam and an OCT exam for $340. So the OCT, we spoke about it a little before.
Mm-hmm.
So that will just go, it's a little bit more in-depth in assessing the health of the eyes. So if we want to rule out things like glaucoma, or if you want to see that there's any changes to the back of the eye, OCT is perfect for us, especially ladies now. We want to make sure that the eyes are healthy, right?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much there. So that was our interview there with Dalton Brong, our friends at Dalton Brong and Optometrists. We just have about 2 more minutes. Of course, remember to check them out there, Dalton Brong, and take care of your eyes. Can any of the substance abuse, addiction, or well, of course, it could affect your eyes as well. You know,
yes.
Drinking, smoking.
Like
you
know? She just said, yeah. Tobacco, smoking will have a negative effect on your eyes. So even that, you know, stop smoking.
Yeah. What about secondhand smoke? Those people who live with people who smoke.
Secondhand smoke is actually found to be more detrimental than the primary smoker.
Smoker wrong me.
And then there's tertiary-hand smoke.
Tertiary?
So if nobody smokes at home,
yeah.
But I go to the office and somebody smokes there, the smoke that's on my clothes,
right.
I carry that home, and that also can have detrimental effects on my family.
Wow.
So it's a very big topic, and of course we will be exploring it throughout the year.
Yeah, and then sometimes you see people smoking around their children as well.
Yeah, so and their lungs are not, yes, their lungs are very well developed, but they are more susceptible to infections, yeah. etc.
All right, so we're just about wrapping up our show today. Another edition with Dr. Brittany Dean. Of course, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and of course, Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day and try to stay
now. A station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.